All right, we'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. Welcome you all to our December 9th meeting, the last meeting of the board in 2008. And thank you all for being here for that event. And I wish everybody a really happy Merry Christmas and a happy holiday season. And that goes to all of you. Hope you enjoy the season with your family and friends. You would now join us in the Pledge of Allegiance and remain standing for the invocation of Reverend Stephen Crane, pastor of Poplar Springs Baptist Church.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Would you join me in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, Creator and source of all wisdom and understanding, I humbly ask that you would bless this Board of Supervisors with your grace to listen well to one another and to the needs of this county's citizens whom they have the privilege of serving. Give them strength and patience to begin and finish well the administration of their sworn duties. Grant them courage to uphold the highest ethics of government, that they may remain a government of the people, by the people, and for the people of this great county. Give them the wisdom to seek your counsel in times of calm, as well as in the hour of crisis, that they may successfully execute the duties of their office for the greater good of Henrico County and for the honor of your glory. With all due respect to the faiths of other religions, I offer this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ my Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Mr. Manager, I think we have some minutes to be approved this evening.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, a request is made for consideration approval of minutes. This is for November 25th, 2008, both regular and special meeting minutes, which have been distributed to you for consideration. Motion would be in order.
Move the approval of the minutes for those two meetings.
All right. Motion by Ms. O'Bannon, second by Mr. Donati. Are there any corrections? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No, the minutes are approved. All right. Mr. Manager, I know you have some comments this evening, this special evening.
Well, we only have one comment, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, but it is time to put your hats on.
That's a special evening. Too bad you all don't have one.
This is a festive occasion. These hats are getting smaller. I'm not sure what's going on here.
Your head's getting bigger.
Oh. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, this evening I would like to recognize the County Government Christmas Mother Program Chair, Ms. Lisa H. Orlosky of the Department of Information Technology. Her co-chair, which is Juliana Major from the Division of Recreation and Parks, could not be here this evening. She had a commitment with her child, and so I suggested she do that instead of this. So Lisa is going to be making a presentation, a very, very special presentation, I think you'll see why in just a moment, to our 2008 Henrico County Christmas Mother, Ms. Karen W. Moore. Lisa?
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, and Mr. Manager, it is my honor to present a check to the Henrico County Christmas Mother 2008, Ms. Karen Moore, and this is on behalf of all of the Henrico County Government and Schools employees. And our check this year is for $26,500.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, as Ms. Moore goes to the podium, Of course, there are some bicycles down front along with some portion of what was provided by the employees of the Henrico County General Government. We met this morning and provided all of that. It has been moved over here to the warehouse where they had a reception this afternoon. Fantastic effort in the warehouse this afternoon from the standpoint that they are ready and able to go. The only other comment I would make is there is a red Great Master tricycle down there that I had to get on this morning for pictures, and that was not easy, Ms. Moore.
You look fabulous.
Ms. Moore?
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Manager, thank you for the invitation to join you again tonight. When I addressed you previously, we were just beginning the application process and were unsure about what to expect. We've now completed applications, and we've had a record number of applicants. 1,800 families have applied for assistance from the Henrico Christmas Mother, which is about 12% more than last year. We will be assisting 1,650 families, or 5,000 individuals. 2,800 are children, 700 are seniors or disabled adults. We couldn't possibly achieve our goal of providing new clothes, toys, books, food to our recipients without help from the whole community. I'd like to thank all the wonderful citizens of Henrico who have donated money, gifts, time, and energy to the Henrico Christmas Mother. Businesses and individuals have sponsored families, delivered gifts, or made monetary donations. Hundreds of volunteers have and will continue to work at our warehouse, sorting cans of goods, setting up, and shopping with our recipients. We've received wonderful support from the county government and county employees, as you can see. The county has given us the use of the Dad's House warehouse. We think of that as our home, actually. County employees have held fabulous fundraisers over the last month. And all the wonderful toys and gifts that you see here are tangible signs of the caring and generosity of all the county employees. I'd like to thank Lisa and Julie, the County Christmas Mother co-chairs, for their enthusiasm and their terrific leadership in this effort. Our county schools collected more canned goods than ever. This translates to well over 60,000 meals that we will be providing to our recipients. They also collected toys, bikes, and money. It's awesome. I've loved being the Henrico Christmas Mother, and I'm so proud to be a Henrico County resident. I've met so many caring and generous people throughout this county. It has truly been a heartwarming experience for me. I thank you all so much for your continued support of our program, and I wish you all a very happy holiday season. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Moore. And the board wants to also thank you and all your hundreds of helpers for what you do for the citizens of Henrico County. And it's a great job, and we appreciate it. And thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I have no other comments this evening. If any of you would like to ride the tricycle down there, we'll be glad to take some pictures.
It didn't break down earlier?
No, sir, it did not break down. Yeah. And, of course, at this point, with no other comments, you, of course, can remove your hats or you can wear them all evening.
Thank you. I think we'll start from that end, let the bicycle riding go.
I'll wait and watch you.
All right. Do any board members have any comments this evening? Okay. And let's see here. Yes, media. Who's the media?
We
do have.
Yeah.
Media. Who's here? Miss McKinney is furiously writing a list for you, sir.
I'm sick. Tom, I was here earlier.
All right. Thank you. All right. Well, we have our usual coverage here this evening. I guess I could have, done that. Melanie Martin from the Times-Dispatch and Tom Lapis from the Inaco Citizen. Thank you all for being here on this Christmas occasion. Okay. I guess that brings us down to the public hearing zoning cases, Mr. Manager.
It does, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I have two items which are being requested for deferral this evening. The first item is actually the first item on your agenda, 346-07, being C-48C-07 in the Brooklyn District. It's in Trophy. It is a request to conditionally rezone from R3, one family residence district, to B2C, business district, conditional. Approximately 1.4 acres, which is located at the northwest intersection of Staples Mill Road and Old Staples Mill Road. The request is being made to defer this item until February 10th, 2009.
Mr. Chairman, we don't see if there's any opposition to a deferral.
All right. Anybody in the audience tonight who will be in opposition to a deferral of this case, C48C07 in the Brooklyn District, anybody?
Seeing no opposition, Mr. Chairman, I move to follow the request of the applicant and defer this case until February the 10th.
Second.
2009.
All right. Motion by Mr. Glover and second by Mr. Thornton.
Yes, sir.
To defer the case till February 9th.
Right?
10th. 10th. Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. So that case is deferred.
Second item being requested for deferral, Mr. Chairman, is 293-08, being C-26C-08 in the Three Chop District. This is Ethan and Elizabeth Crash, a request to conditionally rezone from A1 Agriculture District to R3C, one family residence district conditional, approximately 2.9 acres, located on the north line of Dublin Road and approximately 250 feet east of its intersection with Belfast. A request is being made to defer this item until January 27th, 2009.
All right. I think a notice was sent out to citizens advising of the request of deferral tonight, but is there anybody in the audience who objects to deferral of this case, C26C08 in the Three Chop District? If not, a motion to defer until January 27th would be in order.
I move we defer the case C26C08 until January
27th.
09.
All right. Good year. Is there a second?
Second.
Moved by Ms. O'Bannon, second by Mr. Glover. The case be deferred until January 27th. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. That also is deferred.
Mr. Emerson, I don't have any other requests, do you, sir?
No, sir, I do not.
Moving back to now the first item on the agenda, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, 351-08. This is C-35-08 in the Brooklyn District. It is Dominion Land and Development Partnership. It's a request to rezone from R5AC, General Residence District Conditional, to C1, Conservation District, approximately 6.2 acres, located 965 feet west of the intersection of Francistown and Castle Point Road. Planning Commission voted to recommend the Board of Supervisors grant this request. Mr. Emerson?
Thank you, Mr. Manager. C-35-COA proposes to rezone approximately 6.2 acres from R5AC General Residence District to C-1 Conservation District. The subject area is located within the 100-year floodplain in the partially recorded Townsend subdivision. This request is consistent with the 2010 land use plan recommended use of environmental protection area for the subject site and would fulfill the proffered conditions accepted with C61C04 and C82C05, which required areas within the 100-year floodplain to be rezoned to the conservation C1 district. Staff supports this request, and the Planning Commission at their November 13th meeting recommended approval as well. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to try and answer them.
All right. Any board members have?
Would you see if there's any member in the audience that would like to any questions or comments?
All right. Thank you. Is there anybody in the audience tonight who may be in opposition or has any questions regarding this zoning request? Anybody?
Hearing none, I move we follow the recommendation of Planning Commission and grant this case.
Second.
All right, moved by Mr. Glover and seconded by Mr. Thornton that this case be approved. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye, opposed no. And that also is granted.
Next item, Mr. Chairman, 352-08, being C-34C-08 in the Brooklyn District. This is CP 9200 West Broad. It's a request to amend proffered conditions accepted with previous zoning case C-62C-86, located on the north line of West Broad Street, approximately 918 feet west of its intersection with Tuckernut Drive. The Planning Commission voted to recommend the Board of Supervisors grant this request. Mr. Emerson?
Thank you, Mr. Manager. C-34C-08 is a request to amend proffered 10 of rezoning case C-62C-86 regarding exterior building materials. The subject site contains a carpool car wash and is located at 9200 West Broad Street. The 2010 land use plan recommends commercial concentration. Proffer 10 of C-62C-86 requires the exterior of the building to be constructed specifically of Webster number 209 brick and weathered Cabot spruce blue stained wood. The photograph you see in front of you is of the current carpool facility. The applicant wishes to renovate the building facade, removing the wood and replacing it with IFAS panels. The existing brick would remain. To allow for this change, the applicant proposes replacing proffer 10 in its entirety with new language and proffering the elevations that you have in front of you now. The amended proffer would allow brick, glass, IFAS stone, split face blocks, cementitious siding, and decorative metal trim to be used. Reinvestment and commercial use on the property is encouraged and is compatible with the surrounding development and consistent with the 2010 land use plan. While providing flexibility to update the exterior appearance of the building, this request also maintains the intent of the original proffer to ensure quality development. Staff supports this request, and the Planning Commission also recommended approval at its November 13th meeting. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to try and answer them.
Okay. This is just one single proffer change.
Proffer change.
That's correct.
Yes.
Right. Any questions, members of the board, for Mr. Emerson? Mr. Glover?
I want to see if there's anyone in the audience.
All right. Also, this case is a single proffer change. Anybody in the audience tonight wants to comment on this or has any questions, concerns, or opposition?
Hearing none, Mr. Chairman, I move we follow the recommendation of the Planning Commission grant the case for C-34-08.
Second. All right, moved by Mr. Glover and seconded by Mr. Thornton that this zoning proposal be approved. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed no. Thank you.
Next item, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, 293-08 being C-26C-08 in Three Chop District is deferred until January 27th. We move to item 353-08 being C-36-08 in the Fairfield District. This is Brook Run Somerset. It is a request to rezone from R5C General Residence District Conditional to C1 Conservation District, approximately 1/100th of an acre, located at approximately 1,100 feet west of Brook Road and 1,600 feet south of the intersection with Hilliard Road. The Planning Commission did vote to recommend the Board of Supervisors grant this request. Ms. Moore.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. The subject property lies within a 100-year floodplain and is located in Phase 1 of the Brook Run Independent Living Facility development, which was rezoned to R5C through case C-33-04. Proffer 16, except that with that case, does require areas within a floodplain area to be rezoned to C1. This would be following the final plan of development for approval of the property. The 2010 land use plan designates the site for commercial concentration, and while not consistent with this destination, it is compatible with the proposed development and is consistent with the environmental goals and policies to protect environmentally sensitive areas, and it would fulfill the proper conditions accepted with the case C-33-04. Therefore, staff supports this request. The Planning Commission recommended approval at their November 13th meeting. This concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to try to answer any questions you may have.
That's a very small parcel. What is it, about 50 square feet?
That's right. And when Phase 2 is underway, they'll have to come back and do that portion.
Okay. Any questions, board members?
Well, Mr. Chairman, what you see is anyone who has any questions or maybe in opposition to this?
All right.
Anybody in the audience who would like to comment on this case or have opposition or questions? Seeing none.
Seeing none, Mr. Chairman, I would move that we grant the request as suggested by the Planning Commission.
Second.
All right. Moved by Mr. Thornton, seconded by Mr. Glover, that this case be approved. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, no. And that zoning is granted.
Next item, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, 354-08, being P-18-08 in the Verona District. This is Selco Partnership. It is a request for a provisional use permit under Chapter 24 of the County Code in order to construct a 199-foot-high monopole telecommunications tower and related equipment located approximately 1,500 feet north of the northern terminus of Forest Avenue. Planning Commission voted to recommend the Board of Supervisors grant this request. Ms. Moore?
Thank you. The site is predominantly zoned A1 agricultural and C1 conservation. Portions to the west and southeast are zoned R2A and R3 one-family residence district, and the site, as you can see, is just located just south of the Chickahominy River. The subject property is designated Suburban Residential 1 and Environmental Protection Area in the 2010 Land Use Plan. The site is also located within the Airport Safety Overlay District. The proposed tower would be a monopole with triangular antenna arrays mounted on the top, and the height of the tower could allow for up to 5 potential wireless providers. The equipment would be located at the base of the tower within a 9,600-square-foot leased area, which would be surrounded by a 7-foot chain-link fence and landscaping. The tower would meet all the required setbacks for residentially zoned property and dwellings. The applicant did conduct a balloon float on October 22nd, followed by a community meeting on October 29th, and actually nobody attended either event, and staff has heard no opposition to this case. While the property is recommended for residential use in the future, the tower would be located next to a C1 conservation area and should not prevent reasonable growth in the future. By selecting a more remote site in an agriculturally zoned area with limited visibility, staff believes the request is consistent with the land use plan. In addition, the tower would allow for co-location opportunities. For these reasons, staff supports the request, subject to the recommended conditions in the staff report. The Planning Commission recommended approval of this request at their November 13, 2008 meeting. I'd be happy to take any questions.
All right. Board members, any questions? Well, it's a monopole, but the antennas are outside the pole?
Yes, sir. They're the antenna triangular array. Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Any questions?
Does the triangular array have as much power as transmitting as the ones that are concealed?
I would have to, the applicant is here with his engineer, Mr. Romine, maybe could answer that.
I'm just curious. I'd like to know.
Mr. Romine?
Good evening, Chairman Tackley, members of the board. My name is Steve Romine, local attorney for Verizon Wireless. The array that you're seeing on the board up there, which is a triangular top hat array, propagates better than a flush mount or an internal array would. It would degrade coverage, less antennas, less ability to propagate signal on a slimmer profile type of antenna.
Do you have a percentage of how much more it can?
I've got my dad with me, the construction engineer. I don't have numbers like that. I know it's significant from an RF engineering perspective, but it's greater than 20%. I couldn't tell you.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right. Would you find out? Would you let me know?
Yes. Yeah. I'd be glad to.
Okay. Thank you.
And you can get 5 antennas on there. What's the spacing?
What we have is 199, and we were encouraged to increase the height because we're so well screened. Typically, 10 to 15 feet is a spread between the antennas. So you go 199 to 184 to 170 to 155 and on down. But, sometimes you can get in closer and tighter if you have to. but normally they're like 10 to 15 feet.
Is there a demand for five carriers in there?
I think there will be in this area. Uh-huh. It's definitely a long 9 mile road, and the coverage we're getting there, and you see the plot maps, it really fills in a tremendous gap that we have in that area. So, mm-hmm. And we've got one recently approved at Fair Oaks, and when that comes on, that will also enhance the area. So,
good, good.
Mr. Chairman, would you see if anyone in the audience would like to speak to this case?
All right, you've heard this proposal for this cell tower. Anybody in the audience who is in opposition or has any questions, concerns, you want to express this time? Anybody?
Okay. Seeing none, Mr. Chairman, I would move that we file a recommendation to the Planning Commission and grant the request.
With conditions 1 through 11?
Second.
Yeah, with the conditions 1 through 11.
With conditions 1 through 11.
All right.
I
think this is the first half of cell tower without anybody that wants to comment about it. But it's a pleasure to have that.
Yes,
and we have a motion by Mr. Donati and seconded by whom? Mr. Thornton?
Mr. Thornton.
To approve this provisional use permit with the conditions as listed. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed no. And then also granted. And now... Because is that the last? No, we
are. Actually, that's your last rezoning and provisional use permit request this evening, Mr. Chairman. You still have several items on your public hearing agenda. The next item on your public hearing agenda, 355-08. This is resolution for amendments to the fiscal year 2008-2009 annual fiscal plan for December. Mr. Walter.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, and Mr. Manager. These amendments to the fiscal year 2008-2009 budget were introduced at the November 25th Board of Supervisors meeting, and a synopsis of the amendments and the public hearing were advertised in the December 2nd Richmond Times-Dispatch. If this resolution is approved, it will amend the annual fiscal plan and appropriate these funds for expenditure. The total amount of the amendments are $7.7 million. There is $452,000 in the general fund, $975,000 in the special revenue fund, $5.5 million in the internal service fund, and $817,000 in the capital projects fund. The majority of this amendment, $5.5 million, is being appropriated in the internal service fund. And these funds are for risk management claims that are anticipated during the fiscal year. The capital projects fund includes $812,900 of funding for a Challenger youth baseball field at Tuckahoe Park. $500,000 of that is being paid by a donation from the Tuckahoe Sports, and $313,000 is to come from the fund balance. This is a public hearing, and I'll be glad to answer any questions you may have.
All right. The board had some questions when this was introduced a few weeks ago, but are there other questions by board members regarding any of these amendments?
I just had one about how many bulletproof vests can be purchased for $11,300? I'm just interested to find out. Because I often have people want to donate money for things, and that sounds like one of those.
It says
things.
Vest.
Is it one?
Is it plural?
it's a bulletproof vest program.
Well,
that will purchase about 10 of them.
So how much are they per vest?
Well, it ranges from what the use, specified use. One is for the tactical team operation, which is a higher resistant velocity to it, and that runs about $1,000. And the normal vest runs between $650 and $700.
Okay, excellent, because I do get that request about what could you use, and I know the fire department has the eyes for fire, so this would be a great one to understand. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions by board members? Mr. Manager, you sent us a letter about advertising of amendments, and this amendment doesn't really require advertising, but we've done it anyway.
That's correct, sir. The code had changed, but I elected to advise you that we would continue to advertise it at $1 million rate rather than 10% of the budget. It just does not make sense. My position was it's appropriate to provide the information to the population.
Right, and I think the board supports that totally. This is a public hearing on this budget amendment. Is there anybody in the audience that has any comments or questions regarding the proposed amendments? Okay, no other board members' questions?
If not, resolution.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Glover and seconded by Ms. O'Bannon to approve the budget amendments. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. And we'll move on.
Next item, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, 356-08. This is a property tax exemption request for Richmond Residential Services Incorporated. Mr. Patokas?
Yes, sir. Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Manager. This is a public hearing that would grant a request by Richmond Residential Services Incorporated for a tax exemption of its real property located at 3249 Springfield Road in the Brooklyn Magisterial District. This property generated $2,959.74 in real estate taxes in 2008.
What was that figure again?
$2,959.74.
Thank you.
The county manager, following the board's November 23, 2004 procedures for reviewing tax exemption request, has determined that the organization meets the minimum requirements for this request. The organization is a nonprofit organization with a 501c3 federal income tax exemption. It provides housing and training for mentally retarded individuals who are unable to live independently. The ordinance is a matter of protocol was introduced on November the 24th. It was advertised on December the 2nd. A letter and some supplemental information was sent to the board on November the 19th, and the request does comply with the parameters established by the board for such exemptions, and the ordinance itself will take effect January the 1st of 2009.
Okay.
What's the size of the lot that house is on?
I don't have a plat, Mr. Glover. I'm familiar with the property.
I am too. It looks like it's about an acre, doesn't
it? It is, yeah. I mean, it's a decent-sized property.
Mr. Chairman, you want to see if there's anyone wants to speak to the issue?
This is a public hearing. Is there anybody in the audience tonight who would like to comment on this tax exemption proposal? Okay.
Hearing none, I move the ordinance.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Glover and seconded by Mr. Denati to approve the ordinance. All in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed, no.
Next item, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, 357-08. This is an ordinance to add Section 2-53 to the Code of the County titled Criminal History Record Check and Fingerprinting. This is to provide criminal history record checks of persons conditionally offered employment. Mr. Cobble will present this to you.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, and county manager. As the county manager mentions, this paper represents a new ordinance aimed at adding Section 2.53 of the Code of the County of Henrico titled Criminal History Record Check and Fingerprinting. This paper was properly advertised following its introduction to the board on November 12th. We also had a work session on October 28th as well. This proposed ordinance deals with establishing a policy for obtaining criminal history record checks on new hires for employment within Henrico County. In effect, passage of this ordinance ultimately would require a criminal history record check through fingerprinting of all of all applicants conditionally offered employment. It would be appropriate for those applicants filling authorized county positions, as well as those applicants filling hourly safety-sensitive positions. If approved, we recommend an April 1st, 2009 effective date. This date would give us sufficient time to be able to prepare and reach compliance with this ordinance. To accomplish this, state law requires local governing bodies to adopt an ordinance such as this The provisions included in accessing criminal history record information as a condition of employment is intended to look at an applicant's past criminal conduct and activity and whether or not such information may or may not disqualify that applicant from employment. Currently, criminal history record checks through fingerprinting is offered to, is required of all sworn public safety employees, as well as certain select job classifications, such as juvenile detention staff and water treatment facility staff. This ordinance, if approved, would extend such criminal history record checks to all other persons employed or offered conditional offers of employment. Again, that is to people or applicants in authorized positions or hourly safety-sensitive positions. State law outlines specific criteria that must be used to judge this, and not only does this ordinance contain that, but it's verbatim to state law. If approved, it would require the county manager to establish and maintain a list of all hourly safety-sensitive positions. And it would also authorize the county manager or his designee to review and review all of the reports that actually come from the FBI through the Central Criminal Records Exchange. It would be our recommendation that the Division of Police Criminal Records Unit be charged with fingerprinting and collecting this information. They already have staff and they are already trained, and the Chief of Police has agreed to absorb this function should the board approve this. We've surveyed other local governments, and all of the local governments in this region already do this, and also several of the other large local governments in Virginia, such as Arlington, Fairfax, and Virginia Beach, do this as well. And Rockland County Public Schools, under a different state statute, already do this as well. It's our belief that having such a practice in place would be the prudent thing to do for Henrico County. The Virginia State Police is required to approve this ordinance. We have passed that through them, and they have agreed with its language. And then lastly, we would be required to set up an account. This particular cost to go through this process is $37 per criminal history record check. That would cost approximately $18,000 a year. Assuming that we would have 500 hires, which is probably a little bit of an overstatement since we're in a hiring freeze right now. This ordinance, as you would expect, has been carefully scrutinized by the county manager, the chief of police, the county attorney, and myself, and we recommend that you authorize it. Following any other questions, I'll be glad to answer any questions.
All right. The board has been pretty well briefed on this ordinance. Are there any questions or comments still need to be brought forward?
I just have, Mr. Chairman, one comment. We have the built-in safeguards. I noticed that the county managers and other persons, you said review this.
The county manager would be responsible for collecting the information from the FBI, the state police, and then he would, if approved, would delegate that to me.
And from your information, the other localities, sister localities who have enforced this, have there been any problems at all that you know?
No, sir. Mr. Thorne, I've talked to several of my counterparts, and it has been a rather simple process. So no particular problems that I know of.
Okay. Thank you.
Does that answer your question? Ms. Cobble, I think you also mentioned there may be a potential need for some additional equipment to handle it.
Yes, sir. There would be a one-time cost of approximately $17,000. Yes, sir. That would replicate the equipment that's used by the Division of Police. And basically it's an online transfer of fingerprint data electronically to the state police,
right,
that would then be forwarded to FBI and then returned.
All right. Thank you. Now, any other questions? If not, this public hearing again, anybody in the audience would have any questions or comments, concerns about this ordinance proposal? Okay, seeing none.
Move approval of the ordinance.
Second.
excuse me. Moved by Ms. O'Bannon and seconded by Mr. Denai to approve the ordinance. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. That's also approved.
Next item, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, 358-08. This is an ordinance to amend and reordain section 21-124 of the Code of the County titled Rates by increasing the taxi cab rate for each succeeding 1/5 mile from 40 cents to 50 cents and by changing the waiting time rate from 30 cents for each 1 minute of waiting time to 50 cents for each 80 seconds of waiting time.
Okay.
Chief Stanley.
Yes, Mr. Manager. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, as the manager indicated, this proposal would increase the taxi cab rate for each 1/5 mile subsequent to the first 1/5 mile from 40 cent to 50 cent. And it would change the waiting time rate from 30 cents for each 1 minute of waiting time to 50 cents for each 80 seconds of waiting time. And we know that the Hanover County has already approved the ordinance on November 12th. Chesterfield County is due to consider it on December 17th. And as far as we know today, Richmond will consider it on January 21st with the effective date of January 1st, 2009.
So this will be a regional rate, and everybody has to approve this?
Yes, sir. And, of course, this was recommended by the Capital Regional Taxicab Advisory Board.
Yes, I understand. Okay. Any question by board members? We've had a chance to discuss.
Just one question. Chief, you do normal inspections of the taxis that do service in that county?
Yes, we do.
And how do you find the vehicles? Are they in pretty good shape? Or?
They are in pretty good shape. And, of course, we are very diligent in our enforcement of the conditions of the vehicle and the requirements. We have one police officer that's one of his primary duties, along with two others that assist. To make certain that the cabs are in good shape.
Mm-hmm.
The majority are, as with everything, there are a few that we have to take action against.
Okay. Thank you.
Do the taxis have to have equipment, special equipment in the cab?
They have a meter that's also calibrated.
So you do calibrate it because they've got 80 seconds. I mean, that's interesting that they should be that specific.
Well, the 80 seconds is interesting.
Rather
but it can be done. It's no issue.
Okay.
And Chief, what was the last time that we had a rate change?
To my knowledge, it was prior to me becoming Chief of Police. And that's 13 years ago.
Wow.
It's a long time.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I think it, this question was asked during work session, I think it was about 1994, 1995, something like that.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Okay, any other board members have questions? This, again, is a public hearing. You got any cab operators here tonight? I guess they approve it.
It looks good.
Anybody have any comments or questions? I think all the cab operators recommend this, right? okay.
Good ordinance, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Donati and seconded by Ms. O'Bannon to approve this ordinance. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Ms. Grant.
Next item, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, 359-08. This is an ordinance to amend and reordain section 23-1, titled Definitions, section 23-204, titled Disconnection of Meters, section 23-206, titled Billing, Adjustments of Bills, section 23-281, titled Service, Deposit, section 23-284, titled Overdue Bills, Discontinuance of Service, section 23-313, titled Water Service and Volume Charges, and section 23-314, titled Sewer Service Charges and Rates, all of the Code of the County. This is all to change the public utility billing practices. Mr. Petrini.
Yes, sir. My statements will be shorter than that. This board paper matches our business practices in the county code so that they
move those mics up a little bit.
So that they are in sync. There was a work session on October 28th on this subject. There was an introduction of ordinance on November 12th, and a letter was sent to the board describing this in the next board paper. It was dated December 5th. We recommend approval of this ordinance change, and we can answer any questions.
All right. Any board members? We have had some briefing again. I'm sure everybody understands technicalities here. Any questions? Anybody in the audience tonight, the public hearing, would like to comment on these definitions changes? Okay. This is Norton.
Hang on. Move the ordinance.
Second.
All right. Moved by Mr. Glover and second by Mrs. Norton. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. And that ordinance is approved.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, if you thought that was long, item 360-08 is also an ordinance to amend the ordained sections of the code, section 23-1, titled Definitions, section 23-109, titled Restricted Wastes, section 23-131, titled Violations, Enforcement, Penalty, section 23-133, titled Applicability of Categorical Standards, section 23-134, titled Discharge Permit Required, section 135, titled Discharge Permit Conditions, section 138, titled Correction of Violations, and section 23-314, titled Sewer Service Charges and Rates, all of the Code of the County, and to add section 23-127, titled State Pre-Treatment Standards, section 128, titled Dilution, section 129, titled Violations, and section 130, titled Administrative and Enforcement Remedies, all to the Code of the County, and all to conform to the county's industrial pretreatment and strong waste program to state requirements. Mr. Petrino.
Yes, sir. Mr. Manager, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Again, this subject was reviewed three times, a work session on the 28th of October, introduction of ordinance on November 12th, and a letter dated December 5th to the board describing the main features of the changes of the ordinance, of the code. Basically, we had a compliance audit by DEQ. After the results of the audit, they requested these changes, and this puts us in confirmation with state and federal regulations.
So that's the primary objective, just to get in compliance with these regulations?
Yes, we had not changed this part of the code, or these parts of the code, for many years, and the regulations had changed. So now, upon adoption of this, DEQ has reviewed this and said this conforms.
Okay. Any board members have questions? Okay. How about the audience? Public hearing? Anybody who doesn't understand what's being proposed here or has any questions?
That's your wrong question, Mr. Chairman.
Well, I know you're all well informed, but I see no...
See no objection. I'm going to move the ordinance.
Second. All right. Moved by Mr. Glover, second by Mr. Thornton. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
That ordinance also... is approved. Now, where are
we? Next item, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, is public comments. I have two individuals signed up this evening. One wishes to speak on an item which is on your general agenda, so I will defer that one. The next individual is signed up to speak this evening to address the Board of Supervisors is Ms. Candace Lucas. Ms. Lucas? As Ms. Lucas comes forward, generally speaking, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, ladies and gentlemen of the audience, we limit comments to 5 minutes before the Board of Supervisors. Of course, unless the board wishes to take up the item after 5 minutes at the end of the agenda. Ms. Lucas?
My name is Candace Lucas, and I'm a resident of Rowena. This evening, I would like to address the board regarding Hiraco County Public Schools, primarily in an effort to promote the concept of having a citizens board established within Hiraco County in order to address the accountability ethics as well as the morality issues that exist within Hiraco County Public Schools. To give you a little bit of background on where I'm coming from, I am a former employee of Hiraco County Public Schools. I'm also a parent advocate for parents with special education needs within the district. I have two daughters that are in Hiraco County Public Schools. I have two daughters that have graduated and have gone on to Virginia Tech for a full ride, thank God, from Hiraco County Public Schools. My husband graduated from Virginia Randolph. His father resided in Verina all of his life and was one of the first African-American firemen in this area. So we have a great deal of history in Henrico. I come before you today because I'm extremely concerned about the deterioration of the quality of education within Henrico County Public Schools. For the past 2 years approximately, I have been coming to the school boards, to the school board meetings, and addressing these issues as far as the deterioration regarding the quality of education. And I will put this in perspective as to what we're speaking to today. Just earlier today, the U.S. Attorney Fitzgerald said the corruption within the governor's office of Illinois, that an era of corruption within public government has come to an end because of the fact that now we as citizens understand our voice and we're willing to speak up and speak out about what is going on. Another quote I will give you is from Condoleezza Rice, our present Secretary of State, where she proclaimed in a recent newspaper article that the greatest threat to homeland security is not terrorism, but it is the deterioration of public education within our own land. And that is particularly of a concern for me, like I stated, in eastern Henrico, where we do not have the resources, we do not have the leadership, we do not have the focus that we need in order for our children to be successful. And once again, I speak from this perspective as a parent as well as an advocate and a resident within this county. Now, as a result of the extensive corruption, lack of ethics, repeated violations of civil rights of children, parents, and educators, the repeated and excessive abuses of power and authority by the superintendent, his staff, and the school board, the district has been catapulted into an area that we should have never been catapulted to. For the first time in years, Henrico County Schools did not make AYP. And if you know what that is the standard for No Child Left Behind. Our district has deteriorated under the present leadership of the present superintendent. And that cannot go on. That cannot go on for my child or anyone else's child. Integrity, accountability, ethics, safety, and trust, respect, and equality, as well as, most importantly, excellence, must be restored back to our leadership, our schools, and even our own county. It is not there anymore. It is not there anymore, and we need citizens to come forward and be able to counteract what is going on. There has to be a check and balance in place so that our children's voices are heard, our parents' voices are heard, and they are not silenced by the politics and the bureaucracy of the school system that exists as it stands. President-elect Obama stated one of the greatest dangers of any leadership team, which is what I'm classifying Henrico County Public Schools as, is the concept of groupthink, where no one is challenged, no one disagrees, no one expresses an opposing view, but everyone follows blindly behind one leader without any type of discrepancy or without any type of challenging. And that is what has caused a deterioration within Henrico County Public Schools over the last 5 years. Mr. Donati, I know that I had spoken with you earlier in November. We had spoken about incidences that had occurred regarding individuals that did speak out in Henrico County Public Schools. I know for me, I received a threat after I spoke out. And that threat was never followed up on except by Henrico County Police, but the school district itself would not follow up on the threat because it was an issue where we want to silence any type of opposition. This cannot continue. I believe that our society is measured by how we treat our children. I really believe that it speaks to our morality as well as our ethics as to how we treat our children. And as elected officials within our county, it is my hope, it is my deepest hope that you will reevaluate what is going on in Henrico County Public Schools, your ability to impact that downward trend that is going on. In addition, I believe that we need to also look at the county's motto. You stated that your motto is that we are proud of progress and we're excited about our future. However, we cannot be proud, nor can we have progress unless we do what's best for our children. And so it is my hope that you will really evaluate this, put the politics aside, put the cronyisms aside, and look at what has happened based on the data. Just look at the data. The Virginia Department of Education will show you how violent our schools have become. Our children, disruptions, teachers cannot even teach without gang-related activities. These are things that are real, and teachers are speaking out, but they're silenced. Parents are speaking out, but they're silenced. Students are speaking out, but they're silenced. And this cannot go on in this district.
Ms. Lucas, you need to wrap up, ma'am.
Okay, this cannot go on in this district, and I hope that you understand the urgency of the issue. Thank you very much for your time.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Lucas.
Lucas.
You have a question?
Yeah.
All right.
You raised some very interesting questions. And I want to thank you for bringing this issue up. But now, when you mentioned the parameters of this whole situation, you said you did attend the school board meetings, and tonight you're here to speak before us to share your thoughts. And I guess my challenge in listening to your grave concerns is, when you mentioned the various changes and all the suggestions that is needed to improve education, have you also considered that the group that you're really talking about is an elected group? And so I'm just wondering, is this the case when you have spoken before that group and you have certain feelings and then you wanted to share that same information with us?
Well, actually, I have not only spoken before them, I've made suggestions, and I've gone to several of them. Mr. Montgomery, and he's in our district,
right,
and addressed the issues. Actually, prior to his election, I addressed the issues regarding safety within the schools in the area where gang members can just walk on a school district, can walk on a campus of a school. That is not acceptable to me.
Okay.
What are we doing about that? And there are things that are going on. The inequality as far as resources are concerned between the east end and the west end of Henrico. And when, you know, it's fine when an elected official uses that as a way to get elected, but then when they become elected, there's no longer an inequality issue. That is why I'm coming to you, because I believe a citizens board needs to be established to hold some accountability.
Okay. I did hear that about the citizen board, which might be a good idea, but I also, you know, I'm concerned about the fact, though, that it's always good, and first of all, I applaud you for bringing this up, but it's always good to make sure that when we make comments, that they are comments that are sensitive,
mm-hmm,
and probably don't want to be too indicting with some of our comments, but you raised some challenging issues up. And one way that some people look at this is that, you know, those persons are elected, so they're held accountable.
That is absolutely.
And so I would think, you know, this is a good case where you get more citizens involved in that type and meet with those groups and challenge them to come up to par there. I appreciate you sharing this with us,
mm-hmm,
but as you know now, the school board is an elected board now.
That's
it's
right.
No longer appointed, and there are certain things that we can and cannot do.
Exactly.
So I just want to share, and I know that you're aware of that.
I'm aware.
Again, thank you for broaching this issue.
Thank you.
One other question, Ms. Lucas. You mentioned you've been with the county. Were you part of the school system?
That's correct.
Right. For how many years?
Approximately 3 years.
20?
3 years.
Oh, 3 years.
I'm with the state right now, but I was with him, Michael.
Okay.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. This is still a public comment. Would somebody else want to speak to a different item, Mr. Manager?
Yes. Mr. Warren Wakefield, Wakeland, has signed up to speak on the water sewer tap facility, which you have in an introduction of ordinance this evening.
We'll do it. Okay, we can do that later. Anybody else now has any comments that for public comment period here on something not on the agenda? All right, then we'll move on.
We do, Mr. Chairman. Moving on to your general agenda, your first item is 361-08. This is a resolution for approval of issuance of bonds for the New Bridge Academy, LLC, and the New Bridge Weekday Early Education Center, also an LLC. This is the bonds will be issued by the Industrial Development Authority of Essex County. In essence, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, these are bonds which will not exceed $4 million. They are for improvements in Henrico County, specifically it's about a 62,000-square-foot facility for educational and development purposes, and it is located at 5701 Elko Road. The reason that this comes to you is that, of course, by law,
the Henrico County EDA and the Henrico County Board of Supervisors must pass resolutions supporting this. The bonds will be issued by the Essex County Industrial Development Authority.
All right. This is part of the general agenda. Any comments or questions by board members? If not,
move resolution, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
All right. Moved by Mr. Denai, second by Ms. O'Bannon to approve the resolution. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. That's next item.
Item 362-08. This is a resolution for authorization to apply for and accept the fiscal year 2009 Hazardous Material Emergency Preparedness Grant from the United States Department of Transportation through the Virginia Department of Emergency Management. Chief Smith.
Mr. Chairman, other members of the board, Mr. Manager, in Michael County, you know, we have one of our nationally recognized hazardous materials team, but we haven't had a study done to see what's actually passing through Henrico County in probably over 20 years. This grant that we've applied for, which does require a small match, will allow us to look at what's actually passing through Henrico County so we can better train and prepare for it.
Move resolution.
I got a question. That's all modes of transportation?
Yes, sir.
In money water? I mean.
Okay.
This gives you authority to stop and look at something.
I think it's going to give us authority to stop and look, but what we can
well,
do.
How are you going
to stop? I think, Mr. Chairman, the last time they did something like this, they went to the trucking companies and to the railroad and got the information from them as to what's coming through the area by rail, what's coming through the area by
air,
road, and all of them. And this happened, I guess, the time I remember, sometime around 92 or 93.
It did, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. There are processes and permits that have to be filed by any mode of transportation, and this simply would update that process and lend information to us concerning hazardous materials.
Well,
the reason I ask is because of the transportation on the river going up to the deepwater terminal.
Yeah.
You don't know what's on those.
Well, we've actually got a very good relationship. We've been over there. We've talked to the people. We go over there regularly. The HIT team goes over there regularly and get with them. And we, again, we've got a pretty good relationship with them.
Okay.
They have to make available what's being shipped in all different types of vehicles. And that they did a good job back in 93, 94, 92, something like that.
Yeah,
and there was some.
As long as they're
authorized. Yeah, there was some tough stuff coming through the area.
The ones that are not authorized are the ones that are difficult.
That's the ones they wouldn't tell us about anyway, Mr.
Right.
Chairman.
That's right.
Okay. Well, let's look at the good ones then. Okay. Any other questions?
A motion by Mr. Glover.
We do.
Second.
Moved by Ms. Glover and second by Mr. Denai. You approve the resolution? All in favor say aye.
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 Item 363-08 is a resolution. This is award of a contract for engineering design services for Fairfield Athletic Complex field lighting replacement. Mr. Proto.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, this resolution would award a contract to Wiley & Wilson in the amount of $46,790 for the necessary engineering design services to replace existing field lighting at four athletic fields at Clare Field. The project would include removal of 19 existing wooden light poles, fixtures, controls, overhead wiring, electrical equipment, and design the installation for new steel poles and new sports lighting fixtures and so on. Funding is available, and if approved by the board, we would anticipate a new lighting system will be operational by late May of 2009. We do recommend.
Funding is available from the capital improvements plan.
It's within the project, yes, sir, I believe
yes,
so.
Any questions, board members?
Yes. What do you do with the old lighting? Is that surplus and you sell it?
I suspect it's probably become the property of the contractor, but is that correct, Neil? That's typically when there's demolition work in the construction contract.
I'm just curious if some other locality that's not as fortunate as us could use them, you know.
If there were interest expressed, we probably could negotiate something to do that, but typically they would not have enough value to command that, and it would become the property of the contractor.
Yeah. Okay. Give them away. Okay.
Move resolution, Mr.
Second.
All right. Moved by Mr. Thornton, second by Mr. Glover. Move approve the resolution. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no.
Item 364-08, this is a resolution for award of contract for architectural and engineering services for the Tuckahoe Park Challenger baseball field. Mr. Parker?
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, this resolution would award a contract to Cloud Harbor and Associates in the amount of $71,160 for design services in connection with the Tuckahoe Park Challenger baseball field located at Tuckahoe Park on Little League Drive. The board has appropriated funding to support this entire project earlier in your amendment to the budget. And if the board approves this evening, we would anticipate completion of the project by July of 2009. Again, funding is available. We do recommend it.
Move the resolution.
Second. Moved by Ms. O'Bannon, second by Mr. DeNardi to approve the resolution. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no.
Item 365-08, this is a resolution for adoption of revised Division of Recreation and Parks Facility Reservation Guides. Ms. Meyer.
Move resolution.
Second. All right. Moved by Mr. Glover, second by Mr. Thornton. Approve resolution. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no.
Item 366-08, this is a resolution for adoption of the Division of Recreation and Parks Facility Reservation Guide for Huntington Community Center.
Move resolution.
Second. excuse me. Moved by Mr. Glover, second by Mr. Thornton. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Resolution approved.
Item 367-08 is a resolution. This is authorization to accept reduced survey and planning cost share program funding from the Virginia Department of Historic Resources. Ms. Meyer?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Manager. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, on September the 9th, the Board of Supervisors authorized the county manager to accept the Virginia Department of Historic Resources grant through its survey and planning cost share program to be applied to the countywide architectural survey update, archaeological assessment, and their comprehensive report project preparation, which is called the project. This project will document about 250 properties in the county and prepare 3 to 5 preliminary information forms on neighborhoods to assess their eligibility for listings in the National Register as well as the Virginia Landmarks Register. It will also report findings in regards to battlefield identification and protection plan, preservation planning, recommendations, and mapping of historic cemeteries. Due to budget reductions, the state has reduced its contribution of funding from $30,000 to $20,000. However, the project scope will remain unchanged. The county contribution for the state survey and the planning funds agreement with BDHR is $35,000, and that's the county contribution for the cost-sharing grant. The county funding has been appropriated for the project, and as I said earlier, it has been approved by the board. The county will provide in-kind support, including access to the county archives, use of temporary space, and access to county office equipment. VDHR will secure the services of a qualified consultant, and it will manage the project. This has been reviewed with the county attorney. I'll be glad to offer answer any questions.
Are there any questions, board members?
Move approval of the resolution.
All right. Moved by Ms. O'Bannon, second by Mr. Dodon. The approved resolution. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no.
Next item, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, 344-08. This is a resolution for signatory authority. This is acquisition of real property at 1303 Mimac Road in the Tuckahoe District. If you will recall, we will explain to you that this item was deferred because we needed to consider amending the paper as it exists. Mr. Price?
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, approval of this resolution will authorize the county manager to execute an agreement in a form approved by the county attorney between Malenko Milanovic and Isabella Milanovic and the county for the acquisition of real property located at 1303 Moormack Road. The property is to be used as a group home by Mental Health and Retardation Services. As you know, this resolution was deferred from the November 25th board meeting. Since November 25th, we have asked the owners to reduce the price from $218,000 to $213,500 to reflect the cost of a new roof, which they have agreed to do. We ask that this resolution be amended to reflect the reduced price of $213,000. The resolution also authorizes the county manager and the county attorney to take all necessary administrative and legal actions to acquire title to the property. Mental Health and Retardation Services and Real Property recommend approval.
Mr. Chairman, I move we amend the resolution to show the lower purchase price of $213,500.
That's a motion. by Ms. O'Bannon, second by Mr. Denai to amend the motion to reduce the price from 218 to 213.5. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. Okay. Now,
Mr. Chairman, I move approval of the amended resolution.
Second.
Moved by Ms. O'Bannon, second by Mr. Denai to approve the amended resolution. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. And that is approved.
Next item, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, 369-08. This is an introduction of an ordinance to amend and reordain. Resolution is 368-08. This is a resolution for signatory authority. This is acquisition of real property at 4003 Hooper Road in the Brooklyn District. Mr. Price?
Yes, sir. Approval of this resolution will authorize the county manager to execute an agreement in a form approved by the county attorney between Teresa C. Wingold and Charles F. Wingold, co-trustees of the Teresa C. Wingold Living Trust, under agreement dated February 27, 2007. In the county for the acquisition of real property totaling 0.39 acres, more or less, located at 4003 Hooper Road for the expansion of the government center site. The purchase price is the appraised value of $100,000. The property is located adjacent to the existing county-owned property and will be used for future expansion of the government center. The directors of general services and real property recommend approval.
Okay. Any question by board members?
Here or not, I move resolution, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Glover, second by Mr. Thornton to approve resolution. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no.
Item 369-08. This is an introduction of ordinance to amend and reordain section 23-283 of the Code of the County of Henrico, titled Installment Payments, to change the interest rate and to amend and reenact the enactment clause of Agenda Item 113-08 to change the effective date for connection fee increases from October 1, 2008 until January 1, 2010. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, you will recall that you acted in an emergency fashion to adopt this. This is the process where you will formally adopt it, and as I indicated, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, we do have an individual who wishes to speak to this paper. Mr. Petrini.
Yes, sir. Mr. Manager, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, this paper introduces the ordinance for advertisement in a public hearing on January 13, 2009. As you will recall, this lowers the interest rate from 12% to the Wall Street Journal prime rate plus 1% for installment payments on connection fees and delays the increase in connection fees that took effect on October 1, 2008 and delays it until January 1, 2010. We recommend approval.
All right. Do I hear this comments before? No comments.
Okay. Move introduction.
Second.
All right. Moved by Mr. Glover and second by Mr. Thornton to approve the introduction. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, no.
Mr. Wakeland, you sat here all night, sir. We'll be more than happy to hear you. Next item, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, 370-08 is a resolution. This is for signatory authority. This is an amendment to an engineering services agreement, Whitman Lockhart and Associates. This is for Wilkinson Road area water mains. Mr.
Petrini.
Second.
Okay. Moved by Mr. Glover and second by
Thornton.
Moved by Thornton.
Mr. Thornton, excuse me. Second by Mr. Glover.
Yes, sir.
You got it.
To approve the resolution. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no.
Item 371-08 is a resolution. This is for water construction project for the Henrico County Communications Complex Stream Restoration Project.
Move the resolution.
Second.
All right. Moved by Mr. Glover and second by Mr. Thornton to approve this resolution. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no.
Item 372-08 is a resolution for the acceptance of roads.
Yes, sir, Mr. Manager. This board paper would accept 1.7 miles into the county road system from five subdivisions within the county.
Move the resolution.
Okay. I have a motion to approve it. Now, we got it by Ms. O'Bannon, second by Mr. Thornton. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye, opposed no. Is there any other business, Mr. Manager?
No other items, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you all. Meeting adjourned.
Merry Christmas.